The first 2 days of readings this week, this is week three, if you remember, and first 2 days are on Song of Songs, and the last 3 days of reading are the middle book of Psalms, or the middle group of Psalms. Remember, that's partway through the whole story of God's people that the Psalms kind of walks us through. Also, a reminder that if you do not yet have a copy of Immerse, we have extra copies over there, so feel free to grab one for yourself or for someone else that you think might benefit from reading the Bible more in depth in kind of a method that doesn't have all of that extra bells and whistles that sometimes complicate our reading of the Bible. Song of Songs it's a book that if you are young and you grow up in the church, it's one of those tee-hee books. It's one of those books that you kind of like, am I allowed to read this book? And as adults, sometimes we can think the same thing about Song of Songs. And I think that it's one of the underutilized books of the Bible. And it's something that if we, the church, do not recognize the power and joy of love, that we fall prey to all of the distortions that take place. And so there's a few things that we're going to bring up in Song of Songs. And once again, like we've been doing the last couple of weeks, we are going to read a few sections of it, and they're included on the insert that you have, a few verses. And I'll be honest, I tried to be a little selective in the verses that I chose this morning so that it reaches a wide audience of folks. The book itself is worth reading the additional intro page, which is on page 181, which gives a little bit more of a background of Song of Songs. This book is sort of like a long extended love poem, and it has an interesting style that not all of the books of the Bible have. It's entering the joy of love, and it's this sort of back and forth style of a series of poems between a young man and a young woman. Presumably this is Solomon, who was king, and a young Jewish woman who caught his eye and who they eventually became married, and it kind of tells their whole story. And then it also includes some reactions of some friends within the community. And in this songbook, you find lyrics that express love at different points in their story, from those first glances that they had all the way through the wedding procession, the beginning stages of their marriage, and even some of the ups and downs that you'll read about in the middle of the book. It's a pretty short book, and one that you can sort of probably read through in a matter of minutes. One of the things that you'll discover that I really appreciate about Song of Songs is it's a series of lyrics that honor the gift and joy that God created in physical creation. You know, just as Amy said at the beginning when they were talking, you know, she was talking about how talking about creation with some of our youngest. At the beginning of creation, what does it say about when God made humanity? He made humanity in his own image. In the image of God, he made us, male and female. And it says that God called us very good. Very good. So immediately, that is the starting point that God has about how he views us as humans, but also us with our humanity, our human bodies, with all of the joys that come with it, sometimes not so much joy, but also the emotions that we all experience as well. This book also reflects a kind of love that is unashamed, almost picturing it in that Garden of Eden style, placing love within its proper God-given perspective. If there's one line that I think captures sort of the idea of Song of Songs, it's an undistorted view that illustrates the great power and joy of love. And it's a vision that you will not find anywhere else other than from God. So let's read a few of those verses this morning. And then, like we've been doing the last couple weeks, I want to ask you some questions about what is standing out to you. That first question, and if you're following along, we have the questions that we can put up on the screen, but also there's four questions on the bottom of the reading plan, and we'll kind of be using those to guide our time. I'm going to start at the beginning of Song of Songs, all the way back in the first chapter. This is presumably the part of the story where the young man and woman are first encountering one another. So let me read verses 15 through 17. The first part is the young man. This is his view of the young woman. "How beautiful you are, my darling. How beautiful. Your eyes are like doves." And she responds, "You are so handsome, my love, pleasing beyond words." And then a description of where they are. "The soft grass is our bed. Fragrant cedar branches are the beams of our house, and pleasant-smelling firs are the rafters." The very next chapter, chapter 2, this is the young woman's description of a little later on in this process. "Ah, I hear my lover coming. He is leaping over the mountains, bounding over the hills. My lover said to me, 'Rise up, my darling, come away with me, my fair one. Look, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone, the flowers are springing up, the season of singing birds has come, and the cooing of turtle doves fills the air.'" You can almost picture some of the imagery that they're sort of, imagine writing a love poem, kind of some of the stuff you might put in that. "The fig trees are forming young fruit and the fragrant grapevines are blossoming. Rise up, my darling, come away with me, my fair one." The young man responds, "My dove is hiding behind the rocks, behind an outcrop on the cliff. Let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is pleasant and your face is lovely." And she responds, "My lover is mine and I am his. He browses among the lilies before the dawn breezes blow and the night shadows flee. Return to me, my love, like a gazelle or a young stag on the rugged mountains." In the very final chapter, this is kind of a reflection on a stage of love between this woman and man later on in their process. Presumably, they've been married for a while at this point. And it's a section that really brings up some of the most powerful images of love in the entire Bible. "Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death. Its jealousy as enduring as the grave. Love flashes like fire, the brightest kind of flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can rivers drown it. If a man tried to buy love with all his wealth, his offer would be utterly scorned." And I'll leave it there. These are just a few of the verses for us to kind of reflect on this morning, but I encourage you to read the whole thing over the next couple of days. As you look at some of these words and phrases, what stands out to you? What catches your eye or your ear? The compassion that they have, so kind of a relational, you sense sort of a relationship forming. That they were young. Sure. If you read a few of the other chapters, you'll see some of their youth, but also some of their maturity that comes through as well. Yeah. Mm. So you heard excitement and newness in the beginning and a depth at the end that maybe it was there, but it wasn't articulated in quite the same way. Yeah. What else? Mm. Sense of belonging on the back side. 2:16. Yeah. Yeah, Ezra. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's definitely a visual component at the beginning, and then that, while not gone later on, certainly looks a little bit different. Yeah. How expressive are we? Mm-hmm. 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 One of the things about, maybe this is not unique to cultures, but for Hebrew people, expressing love in any sort of outward ways apart from your close family was really sort of looked down upon. What would we call that today? Showing any kind of PDA would be kind of frowned upon, except for your closest family. Yeah. Did you have... Oh, you were just pushing your glasses. Okay. Anyone else? Anything else stand out? It's an interesting thing because... So we have God presenting something in a new way, and sometimes that comes in conflict with even some of the cultural practices of his own people at that time. So there's this, you know, and we see that today in the modern church that, you know, this is a book that doesn't get much play because we're like, sometimes we learn early on, oh, the created world is bad. And actually nothing could be further from the truth. The created world is good, but we have distorted it and changed it because of our sin. Or we grow up thinking that love is bad. Love is not bad. I mean, it can't be because it says God is love. But perhaps how we express that love may not be as how God intended it. Yeah. Yeah. Like writing a love note sort of thing. Yeah. It's hard to do this book justice without reading the whole thing, and reading the whole thing makes people blush a lot of times all at once. Yeah. There are also definite, the reason I, we're, the New Living Translation refers to this as young man and young woman, but for instance, if you have the New International Version, it will often say I think it says lover and beloved. So there are different, the phrases are actually, they mean the same sort of thing. They're just written slightly differently. Anything else? Anything? What about that second question? Anything that is sort of confusing or troubling? We've touched on this a little bit already. Seems like a fairy tale. Mm-hmm.
That was my first
case. Yeah. So what do you think? Mm-hmm. Almost like an ideal. Okay. So it depicts, you use the word purity. Okay. Of God's intention for human relationships, sure. The church through the centuries has approached this book in two different ways. One, it's only a story that tells, it's only a human love story, and therefore it's probably not that great, so let's just ignore it. Or it's not talking about humans at all, it's only an allegory of God's love for his people. Yeah, a view of how God views his people or views the church. There's a third view. That has been sort of been, I guess you would say rediscovered, which says, why can't it be both? Why can't it have multiple layers? I mean, the Bible often does have many layers, layers for us to learn and mine as we read it. What about that third question? As you read this, does anything make you think differently about God? Because one of the interesting things about this book is, like the book of Esther in the Old Testament, I don't think that you discover the name of God written anywhere overtly. So does this book make you think differently about God and how God views love? So you're struck by the beauty of nature. I'm saying this so everyone can hear.
Yeah.
And how that's kind of woven into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so how are we, as humans or the church, approaching nature or caring for the world in this beautiful way?
Interesting. So the relation of sort of love and beauty to the created world. Nice, interesting. At least at the beginning, yes. Maybe young at heart. Mm-hmm. This, when you read through the entire Song of Songs, it's really kind of, I think it's about, it's six or seven smaller poems, kind of from start to, I won't say finish, but like the entire span of their relationship. Because you'll also discover in the middle that there are some hard moments, as is common in most relationships as well. It describes an engagement process. It actually describes a wedding procession. It describes a wedding. It describes a wedding night, and it describes the first days of their marriage afterwards.
Yeah,
Mm-hmm. So what's one of the phrase? What's one of the phrases that sometimes the Bible will use a version of that word to describe God's people? The word beloved. It's sort of a variation of that, like my beloved. I mean, that's sort of how Christ views us as the church. Yeah. Affectionate and passionate. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So we don't. Sometimes we have trouble thinking of God in that kind of relational sense. True. In more of it, we think of God as big and mighty and powerful and, you know, moving mountains. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that was God showing us how it should be.
Mm-hmm. Like a picture of an ideal, okay?
I'm just going to put it out there. I think what makes me help see God differently is that the church and humanity really narrow down God's perception. And then what I think from this is actually sex is good, and that is a part of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're all tiptoeing into the word, right? Sex is good, that's why we were created. And we're part of why we were created to procreate and to enjoy each other. And we kept tiptoeing around that. Why are we tiptoeing around it? Not because, certainly not because God says it's bad.
If anything, God says the opposite.
Right.
We have made the distortion.
So how do we
Bingo. You nailed a big question for the ages. How do we get rid of our distorted, or maybe our limited view has distorted the fullness of God's view of love, which includes the physicality of love? Yes, Ezra. We do this in many parts of Scripture. When we approach Scripture primarily as about doing or not doing, and there are certainly parts that speak more to this. But I think in Song of Songs, it's less about doing or not doing and more about a way of being and approaching all of the world. And we do have a responsibility to be. Just like sometimes when I get in trouble, it's not what I say, but it's how I've said it. You know, we have a way of being that if we focus, if we're focused on sort of a morality list, we're always going to fall short. Well, this has been a very interesting, you know, remember, this is not a final word. This is always meant to be a first word to stimulate further thought and reflection and conversation. It has many layers. There are no easy answers about how we learn or unlearn, how we expand our view, other than sometimes just becoming aware helps us move in the ways and directions that God wants us to move. At its simplest, this is a love song between two people, describing a relationship perhaps as God intended it, but ultimately it's a reflection of God's love. So I encourage you in this week as you read through this to read it like poetry. It's not a story that you're just trying to like cram through the pages and read the words as fast as possible. Sometimes you have to read a line and just kind of languish in it for a bit. To be immersed. Friends, let's pray. God, I do thank you for the gift of your word, especially for this section of Song of Songs that we've explored today. We've just scratched the surface. I thank you that you, from the very beginning in your creation, you created humanity as good. You called us very good. You want us to delight in the joys of this world. And yes, that includes physical love. Experiencing love in the ways that you intend. Lord, I pray that you will continue to open our minds through the power of your Spirit, open our hearts to allow us to be present as we read and reflect, that you might slowly begin to transform us as you are always doing, bit by bit, to reflect your image more fully in our world. God, I thank you for this group of people and for the collective wisdom that has been shared today. I pray that it was honoring in your sight. Will you receive our continued worship? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, I couldn't say it better myself. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, surrounding you in his love now and forever. Amen. Have a great week. I've so enjoyed this time to be with you this morning. Amen.